Greg Smith, Devon Funds Management, is with us. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Heather.
Got some more earnings from some of the banks.
We certainly have from some of the banks. Again, a bit of a mixed picture. So Bank of America, they had profit climbing around about 3% from a year ago to $7.1 billion. That was ahead of estimates. Have a 4% gain on revenues, $26.6 billion. That was actually below expectations. But they've been the only major US bank thus far to fall short there, just really for that they were talking about interest rates being lower than a year ago. They did say the consumer was in good shape, so that was good news, and bad debts were low. She is down around about 1%. And then we had Morgan Stanley. They were well ahead of expectations. High trading revenues benefited there. Net income, that was up 13%. Shares were actually down 2.5%, but they've had a pretty good run of late, and they were trading around record highs recently. And Goldman Sachs, they also came out as well. And yeah, much like Morgan Stanley, they benefited from high trading amidst all the volatility with a certain person in the White House and uncertainty over an ever-evolving trade situation. So their trading operations generated $840 million in revenue, more than expected. Profit up 22%, $3.7 billion. Revenues up 15%, $14.6 billion. That was around about $1.1 billion more than expected. Stock trading-wise, their revenue soared 36%. Investment banking fees are also up. Plenty of deal-making around, 26% surge there. Shares ticked slightly lower, but up around 23% year-to-date. Just away from the banks here, as well, I thought it was a really interesting result from healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson. Now, those shares soared over 6%. That's their best day in over a year. Very strong result. Revenue's up 6%. $23.7 billion. Strong sales of cancer treatments, medical devices. Earnings up 19%. They've actually also lifted full-year guidance for earnings and sales growth, so investors like that.
Yeah, and what about the US producer price inflation numbers?
Yeah, that's right. So we talked about the CPI yesterday, and this will show that tariffs are starting to work their way through the US economy and then impacting some consumer categories. So what we're looking at overnight is producer price inflation. So that's prices that are paid at the factory gate, and that'll ultimately be pushed down the line. So this is pretty important as well. Some cause for encouragement here. Wholesale prices are actually unchanged in June, and that defied forecasts for a bit of a lift. The core CPI, that strips out food and energy prices, that was also flat as well, and that was against expectations for a bit of a rise. Good prices, they rose, but it was offset by a fall in services, although we did see tariff-sensitive areas impacted a bit more than others, so there was quite a strong lift in communication equipment, as an example. On an annual basis, the headline PPI is 2.3%. That was actually down from 2.7% in May, and the lowest level since September 2024, when you look at the good side. Core PPI was 2.6%. That's the smallest gain since July 2024. So it actually shows along with the CPI that there's a fairly marginal impact of the tariffs at this point. But yeah, that could change in the months ahead. And often also worth looking at the revisions, which sometimes is overlooked. So you look at May's numbers, actually were revised upwards to a 0.3% gain. And that was triple what was initially reported. But you mentioned Donald Trump. He'll be no doubt pushing for more, pushing the line of sort of more rate cuts and sort of putting the pressure on Jerome Powell. Yeah, it's sort of, he's keeping him guessing, isn't he? Told a bunch of Republicans that he was going to fire him, but then he sort of come back and said that was highly unlikely. So I suppose, yeah, Powell's term doesn't expire till May next year. So I suppose this uncertainty is something he's going to have to live with in the months ahead, looking over his shoulder. But yeah, to his credit, he said that decisions will be based on the data, which is what we like to hear.
Now, fair bit of news from the Kiwi electricity sector, eh?
Yeah, that's right. So, gosh, it's bucketing down outside at the moment, Warren. But yeah, it has been a very dry year, which has impacted the gentailers. So we've seen this over the course of the last sort of 6 months or so in earnings. There was a couple of updates out yesterday. So Meridian A had their monthly update. Basically, the lakes are filling up again after what was a dry year. So National Hydro Storage there, it's gone from 94% to 104% of historical averages. South Island's running at 95%, North Island running at 150%. June inflows are pretty strong. And prices, though, have ticked up. They're actually 5.2% higher than a year ago. Their customer numbers are almost 10% higher. But look, it was a dry year, and you know, when our lakes are running low, the sort of gap has to be filled elsewhere, and that was done by buying more expensive gas, calling on Huntley and basically asking the TY smelter to buy less. Mercury, they also had an update out. Again, this reflected a very dry year. So the Waikato scheme, they saw the lowest annual generation since 1980. Lake Taupo has been very low. That will have been changing of late, and also wind generation lower. Both these share prices tick lower, and yeah, they have had a tough year. I suppose it's a bit of a myth, I think, that yeah, when Mother Nature doesn't play ball, that's just pushed down the line to retail customers. I mean, retail electricity prices have been, despite what you might think when you're looking at your electricity bill, relatively stable, and this has basically been worn by the Gentars, and you can see this in their earnings statement. Nonetheless, they continue to be in focus regulation-wise, and we had an announcement out yesterday here from the Electricity Authority. And what that basically means is that they're going to have to offer off-peak electricity rates by the end of by June 2026. So perhaps not particularly material, but yeah, it will be good news for those wanting to take advantage of cheaper off-peak power.
Yeah,
and also pertains to supply as well. So any of those with rooftop solar systems are potentially be able to benefit, although we're still sort of a low level, really at around about 3% of households. But yeah, potentially some good news for customers there.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, give us the numbers.
Yeah, so at the moment the Dow is up 0.3%, 44,139. S&P 500 is up 0.1%. NASDAQ is up 0.05%. FTSE, stepping back from record highs, down 0.1% in the UK. Nikkei is flat. ASX 200 down 0.8%. NZX 50, we had a good day actually, up 0.5%, 12,754. Infratil had a really strong session, up 3.5%. They've been added to the ASX 200 index, which basically means we should see more buying there by institutional shareholders who are focused on the ASX 200. Gold, that's up $30, $3,354 an ounce. Oil up 11 cents, 66 spots, 63. Just in the currencies, Kiwi flat against the US dollar, 59.5. Down a bit against the A dollar, 91.1. Down 0.3% against the British pound, 44.3. Against the Japanese yen, 87.8. We're down 0.8% there.
Good stuff, Greg. Enjoy your morning. That's Greg Smith, Devon Funds Management.